So if you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's where we're going to get and you in the room. So if you're watching online, you're going to miss some of this. But in the room, on the tables this morning, in the middle of them, there are journals. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. And those are for you if you would like it to be a tool that we're going to talk about this morning. And you're going to get to hear somebody's testimony of how this has been a huge blessing to them and how God has used it in their life. So I just want to kind of back up and give reflection. It's so hard when we have a Sunday where we're not here, we're gathered at home. So I love it when we're back here together and to be able to share these things. So remember, the verse for the year is 2 Peter 1:8, and that's all about, for if these things are really yours and are continually increasing, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in what? This was everything. In your pursuit of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately. I'm going to push that as much as I can this year, that we understand this is our pursuit this year, okay? It's not how much can I memorize, I have all this knowledge now. No, we want to know our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately, because I believe when we do that, that is really going to shape and change the direction of our walk with Christ. That's going to ultimately change then our church, because we're all going in that direction of following Jesus and knowing him more intimately, and that's going to create an incredible unity in our church of that knowledge, because now we're all like, yes, I'm knowing him more intimately, knowledge based on a firsthand relationship, and look what that's doing, and now look what that's doing in our church, look what it's going to do in your family, look what it's just going to do in all sorts of different areas of your life. So that's our pursuit. Last week was all about getting the word into your life daily so you know his voice. That is so important. You know his voice. That was John 10:10. Jesus goes back to that, points back to the shepherd psalm and says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. You want to know David what was all about and who it was? Me. I am the good shepherd. And I want you to know my voice. So you don't have any doubt. It's what I have for you. It's a direction for your life, that you would have no doubt about that. So this morning, I want to talk about the power of writing it down. That's why the journals, and that's what we're going to be talking about. But we're going to go to Deuteronomy 6. As you saw this morning in the video, that is one of the devices that comes out of Deuteronomy 6, is the mezuzah that is used in modern day. That was not shot, you know, back in David's time, okay? That was now. That is still there. There is still a power with that. This is an incredible passage. If you've never read this passage, because God has to help Moses to help the people to how are they going to know God's commands and how are they going to keep this going. And in fact, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a time where they didn't do it. And it wasn't long after Moses where they didn't do it. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't do these things. And it led to utter disaster. But look at what he tells them to do. He's given them the commands and he says, these words I am commanding you today must be kept in mind, and you must teach them to your children. Isn't that incredible? So all the parents, you're watching, you're in the room. Nope, that's our job. You understand that's our job. You must teach them to you. The responsibility of your kids knowing Christ is on you. It is on you. He says, that's how this is going to last, okay? You're going to teach them to your children. And by the way, those things are often better caught than taught. You live it out. When you're living it out and you're living out the word, you're living out following Jesus, your kids are going to see that. They are going to notice that. That's going to become, oh, why did they do that? Oh, that's why they do that. They do that because they're following Jesus. Those are going to be lessons that they learn. So you must, he says, teach them to your children and speak of them as you sit in your house, as you walk along the road. Okay, so they walked. We drive in cars, okay? Do I dare ask what we do in our cars? What do you have on? What happens in your cars? Does everybody just have their own earbuds in, right? Nobody listens to anybody else. We just got our own earbuds in. Listen to our own thing. That's what tends to happen now on a road trip. That's what he says. Do you understand? You're going to have opportunities on road trips to be able to talk to your kids. But he says, do that at home. You should be doing it at home. As you lie down, as you get up, you should tie them as a reminder. These are specific things they did. okay? You should tie them as reminders on your forearm. Fasten them as symbols on your forehead, okay? They literally did things so that they would remember. That's why anything we can do that helps us remember the commands of the Lord and then be able to teach them and speak of them in our homes is always a good thing. Maybe that's good that you have art on the wall that is a depiction of Psalms 23 or of another verse or different things that you're trying to find ways to bring into your home scripture so that you're like, well, I'm trying to do this as we sit, as we go. Listen, we have far more devices than they do, far more opportunities, far more things we can do that we can use as reminders and as symbols. Inscribe them, what you just saw, on the door frames of your houses and gates. Write them down. Do something that's going to help remind you of the commands of God. I don't want you to forget. Now, these people, right, they just came out of Egypt. You got to understand this journey. A lot of us, we read Exodus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, and just like, what in the world's going on? So while God is releasing his people out of Egypt, do you know what it takes an entire 40 years to try to do? Get Egypt out of his people. That's like, it's constantly, why are you thinking that way? Why are you doing, all it took them is going to Mount Sinai and Moses to go up and he is hearing from God and the people going to Aaron go, we need something to worship. Okay, in Egypt, we had lots of stuff to worship. Let's just do what we did then, okay? If you wonder why they made a golden calf, because there are golden calves in Egypt, okay? That's why they did that. And so God is constantly trying to get Egypt out of his people. The way they think, the way they do things is all tied to what they learned when they were in Egypt. And he's trying to pull that out bit by bit. And he's like, that's why you got to do this. Because I got to pull out all this Egypt out of you, all this stuff that's just been ingrained in you. And I got to make sure you don't pass that on to your kids. I don't want you to pass Egypt on to your kids. I want you to pass my word on to your kids. Which means we're in the same thing. No, we don't live in Egypt, but we have the same thing. We are not supposed to pass the cultural mandates onto our kids. We are supposed to pass scripture onto our kids. What God wants them to do onto our kids. You know? The goal at the end of our life is not to say, my kids memorize the Declaration of Independence, they're good Americans. It's, are they good followers of Jesus is the question at the end of our lives. Did we do what we could to help them do that? That's the question, and that's what we ought to be thinking about. And everything they did here was to allow that and perpetuate that and help that happen. Because when it doesn't, want to see an example? Here's an example, okay? And first, let me give you the why. I just want you to understand, why is he doing this? Because, and this is verse 12, be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. If you don't do these things, if there's not systems in place where you've got things places and you're learning and you're knowing me more, you're going to forget. And if you forget, it's not going to go well. You want to see? Here we go. Okay? This is not going well. It's from the book of Judges. Just so you know, order, two people, okay? If you want to know how hard it was to get Egypt out of the people, it only happened to two. Their name were Joshua and Caleb. That's it. Everybody else died in the wilderness. It was the next generation that came up. Joshua gets to lead the next generation into the promised land. They possess it. And Judges tells us this story, okay? That entire generation passed away. This is Joshua's, okay? That generation, gone. They passed away. A new generation grew up, and this is the problem, that had not personally experienced the Lord's presence. And I so love the way the NET puts that there. They had not experienced the Lord's presence. Some of your translations was, they don't know who the Lord is. Well, yeah, they do. He's that God. He's that God who got us out of Egypt, okay? But they had not what? Personally experienced the Lord's presence. Or seen what he had done for Israel. And look at the very next statement, because this is really important. What happens when you don't experience the presence of the Lord and you don't know what he's done? The Israelites did evil before the Lord by worshiping the Baals. There it goes. Whew. And you're like, wait a minute. wait a minute, God just got them into Egypt, and then Joshua led them to the promised land, and now they have this whole land that God promised them. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah, one generation, gone. They're worshiping the Canaanite god Baal. That's what they went to. Because they didn't know him personally. They didn't know. So somewhere along the line, someone in that generation never told their kids, never inscribed them, never tied things, never did things, never taught them to their kids. At some point, there was a gap. And that gap led to utter destruction. And the book of Judges is really a roller coaster of going into captivity again, really by who's there, being redeemed by the Lord. The Lord always sent a redeemer. The Lord always rescued them. And he sends them and he just delivers them all the time. But it's that roller coaster. And it all starts with what? Oh, we didn't tell our kids. We didn't help the next generation know who God is or what he had done for us. And I would say we are probably in that same struggle today, that we see this happening all the time. Studies, statistics show this all the time, all the time. Generationally, when they look at generations who are apart, attending church, you just watch it. You just watch it do this. And so somewhere along the line, we're not helping our kids personally experience the Lord and making sure he knows, they know what he's done. So I want to offer a tool, because my question is, what will you do to not forget? And at the same time, you're going to try to make sure you're talking to your kids. Maybe some, they're all grown up, okay? But you're talking to your kids. You're talking to your grandkids about what the Lord has done. And what are you going to do to not forget? This is where I'm going to offer you an option today, okay? This is not something I know a whole lot about, because this hasn't been something I've done for very long. But a couple years ago, maybe three now, I was handed this journal as a Christmas present from someone here. And that was the year we were doing the Draw the Circle and doing the prayers. And I used it for that. And then for reasons I was interested in, I wanted to track the answers to prayer. Do you know what we're good at? Come on, we can all be honest. We're good at prayer lists. I mean, we can make some prayer lists, okay? Come on, we could have one on the wall, okay? And we could just add to that all the time. We are good at adding to them. What sometimes, at least I'm going to tell you my personal story, I'm not good at the follow-up of the prayer list. Yeah, oh, good, somebody was healed. We got more stuff to pray about, okay? Yeah, they were healed, great, right? It was, how do I focus on what God has done? So that's where I just began to track those things. As people came, as prayer requests went into the prayer group, and I just wanted to track some of those things that God was doing right here. Just for my own sake. Because if I didn't, here's what I was afraid of. I would do the same thing. I would just forget. And I'd be like, oh gosh, no, everything's terrible. I have a 5-page prayer list, you know. Everything's wrong with everybody. And I wouldn't go back and go, oh yeah, hey, look what happened here. Remember this person's surgery and how God worked there? Remember what happened? And I would not remember these things, because I would just be on to praying next. This is where I've used the idea of a journal. The idea of, what if we had a way that could help us to know him more intimately? This is all I'm suggesting this morning that you think about. And in a couple minutes here, you're going to hear a story from somebody who that's what, they have way more experience than I do with this. And here's what I also know, okay? We are people of good intentions. I could talk about journaling today and you'd be like, oh, hey, I ought to try that, okay? So the next time I go to Walmart, okay, you can just, if anybody relates to this, okay, I'm going to pick up a journal. I think I'm going to do that, okay? It'll be April. Okay, and something will happen. You go, you know, I was supposed to pick up a journal a couple months ago, right? Because that's what happens. That's what we do. We have the best of intentions. So I just tried to take away that middle person, okay, of good intention. And there's actually one right on your table, okay? There's one right on your table. I know you're going to look at the verse on the front and go, I don't know if I like that verse. I want a different verse, okay? Well, as I tell my kids on Wednesday night, you need to learn how to share. That was our topic last week, okay? So share, swap, I don't care. This is really simple, okay? This is just a really simple one. I'm going to give you a couple suggestions here in a moment, and then you're going to hear from somebody who's done it more than I have. If you're like, that's great, I will never be able to read my handwriting, that's kind of my issue, okay? Whether you know it or not, if you have an iPhone, do you know on the latest update, they put a journaling app? Some of you are probably like, what's this stupid app on my phone? And you deleted it, okay? But they put a journaling app. So if you're like me and, you know, it doesn't matter, you write a journal, you may not be able to read in a couple years, okay? Then that's an option. There are options out there. I wanted to eliminate any excuse of I have a good intention, and so these are for you. These are for you to take, to use, and I want to give you a couple suggestions, if I can, of how to use it, and then you're going to hear from somebody else. Write down what Christ has done for you. Write down what Christ has done for you. If you were not here the last Sunday of December, I'm so sorry for you. You missed the best Sunday ever. I think it was the best Sunday ever. Because we got to hear the stories of what God was doing in the people here. It was awesome. It was incredible. It was a wonderful Sunday. Because we got to hear stories. Some of those stories I got to hear before. Some of those stories I didn't get to hear ever before. And to hear those was awesome. Okay? Write down what Christ has done for you. I would encourage you, also write down what Christ is doing to the people around you. If you know somebody's story, write that down. Because that's going to help you on hard days, right? You look back and you're like, oh, that's right. Remember that? Remember in the middle of that? And look what Jesus did there, okay? Because I'm just far too forgetful to remember that, okay? But if I have a record of it, I have a better chance. So I would encourage you that you might write down what Christ has done for you. What prayer needs has he answered in your life? The second thing I would encourage you is write down what you are learning about Christ. Because then all of a sudden scripture comes alive. I'm always amazed when I tell someone to read the Bible and they're like, oh gosh, really? It's going to be a bunch of rules. And then they open it and they're like, that's not what I thought it was. Yeah, I know. I know. Okay? Turn off the news. They don't know what it is. Okay? They don't know what's in the Bible. Okay? They're not going to be able to tell you that. Open it up. What do you learn about Jesus? What do you learn about him? What are you learning about him? Jot that down. Jot that down. Listen, I'm grateful that in the generation before me, I had parents and grandparents actually wrote in their Bibles. That's probably not a big thing anymore, but gosh, that's fun. Because you know what I get to know? I get to know what they learned. I get to see what they learned when they sat in that session at church, okay? And, right, I got to know what they thought when they read this scripture, what they saw from that, okay? We don't do much of that anymore. I would just encourage you, this is a great place to learn and to write down what you're learning about Christ. Now, I want you to hear from somebody who's doing it far longer than I have. And in fact, there will be links tomorrow to Missy Paxson's podcast, because the last three episodes she's been talking about journaling. So this is like great. So Missy, come on up. I want her to share with you, that's all I asked her to share with you, her story of journaling. Because again, she's been doing it far longer than I have. So I want you to give Missy a hand as she comes up here and shares with us.